into the chamber, beating on his head. Victory just made as you come. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace today. Another day, Lord, to come together, to ask someone else shout in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to sit around thy throne, Father, and just to worship you as we fellowship, and just to hear your words, my Father. We thank you for your grace. What more do we need, Father, in this hour of time? The very precious gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as we see the world where it is today and the condition it is in, we know, Father, it's heading for a big destruction. Disaster is on the list. In the plan and the purpose, Father, that this world, this whole earth will be renewed, Father, and bring back the Edenic condition that it was when you first created the heavens and the earth. So, Father, we thank you, Father, that we have the blessed hope to look through the wonderful days ahead of us. And we ask the Lord, hasten the time, the coming and return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this is what we are looking for, Father. And every time as we gather, Father, every time as we worship, every time as we meditate, wherever we are, whatever we are doing, let our mind be always conscious of your presence. And be always conscious, O Father, to look to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, Maranatha, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time now, Lord. Open our understanding. You bless us, Father, in thy word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, last week we finished with our subject and question to the for the wise building. You know, last week, after we finished, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, there are three believers text me and tell me something. It's all about tithing again. It seems that people just do not seem to understand tithing. But before I do, let me say this. A sister sent in and asked me a question. She asked, she said, I want to sell a small piece of land which I bought when I was in employment. The proceed to go for the outreach ministry. And whatever the money comes I receive in selling the land, our gift for the work of the Lord. I would like to share with different needy ministry. Is it proper? We don't have evangelism in our church. What would you advise me to do? Now, this is a simple question. A lot of people are asking. That's a sincere, honest question. As the Bible said, you know, whatever comes into your hand, you sell, you make a profit. Out of that profit, you know, we give a thank to the Lord, right? You see, the thing is that she told me that the church do not have evangelism. I cannot understand. If a church don't have a ministry, she didn't tell me how big the church is. But I told her, I said, as a believer in a congregation, in the church, the people need to know where the money goes. Now, if you have 100 people in the church, if everybody give a thing, if you end up in the pastor's pocket, he will be very much like charismatic, the Pentecostal, who own big mansions, perhaps, maybe not so in Africa. But in Africa, there are those that actually own jet planes in charismaticism. They own big car, luxurious car. So I said, you need to first find out about this. You know, then I will know what I have to advise you to do. Because remember what the Bible says in Haggai. You don't want to put the money where, in the pocket where there's hope. And you are causing the minister whom you are giving to, whom you do not probably know well enough, he's propagating false doctrine. And that's where you find that you're being answerable to that, to God also. Alright, so ask it handy. Now, I received two information, not already information, I would say called my attention to an article that was written on the internet. And I just preached this title only last Sunday. And I don't know when that message, that article appeared. And of course, I discussed with one of them, and brother in the chat, said, yeah, the person is true, he's just causing so much his own opinion and things like that and put it out there on the net. You know, I don't want to say this. If you are watching, I want to say this to a lot of people who think they are preachers, who think God called them. You know, the thing is this, we have always tell people. In fact, there was just only last month one African young man who corresponded to me often. He said to me one day, he said, my congregation, some of the believers there, said that I was called to be an apostle. Now, you see, the problem is, Brother Van, you are an apostle, so can you teach me how to be an apostle? Can you guide me? So I told him, I said, people said that you are an apostle. But do you know what an apostle is? Apparently you do know what an apostle is. And an apostle is not somebody, an apostle can teach you how to be an apostle. But you see, that's the problem we have in the entire message. The people in the entire message churches, they are more as confused as those in the charismatic and the Pentecostal. And I fear for these people. And many times in ministers' meeting, when I went overseas, they want to call for ministers' meeting, or even in the church, when we have convention, I always know that there are pastors sitting there, ministers sitting there, I told them, you make sure that you have a calling. Like a minister over in Singapore here. I said, are you called? He said, oh, that's between me and God. He says, no. It's also between you and the people. Because Paul said, I am an apostle. Huh? And my apostleship is in the people whom I minister to. You see, the problem is that if you are not called to be a pastor or a teacher, don't try to be what you are not. Because you You are teaching things with your own opinion, and you put it out there, and people follow you. Until you know the subject well enough, don't teach it. And of course, people say, "Well, God, what do you think? You're teaching, okay?" I say, "You judge the word." All the years that God had got me into teaching the book of Genesis, especially, I wasn't even looking for it. I was just merely reading the Bible, studying when the Lord just came down to me. You want to know the mark of Cain, what it was? And He just showed it to me. The mark of Cain. Can anybody prove it wrong? Can anybody prove it wrong? Nobody ever preached on the mark of Cain, and I prove it to you from Scripture what the mark of Cain was. The location of Eden, what it was. Huh? Who really was Canaan? And many things that was tugging. The marriage of the land from glory to glory, all that thing. That was in the 80s to 90s to 2000, and how the Lord started guiding. I didn't give my opinion, because my opinion, change is my opinion. So when I look at this article that was on the internet, I said, "Oh my, I need to touch on it and try to see how this pastor thinks he knows what he thinks he knows when he doesn't know a thing." I want to put that on so that you can read it online. I mean, not online, sorry, on the screen. So now, I know this pastor. A few months earlier in the, I think this year, I can't remember when, he is one of several ministers. Well, I mean, there are some overseas. This is Philippine. He's someone who proved and tried to prove and tried to say that Jesus Christ was born from the egg of Mary. God has to take the egg of Mary. I know this doctrine way back. In the 80s, 90s. But it gets into the anti-message people. And when I posted a little article there, some came in and make comment and talk about and pose some question. I ignore it because I do not want to confront people. I just let it rest, and you know, and I'll let some time pass. Then I will put another article, a short article, to what was being commented, a question. We can try to make me look foolish. And I post the question, post the article there, try to show why it is not an egg of Mary. Then the same guy came along and said, "Oh, you need to have a neutron. Remember I talked about that? It must be from a neutron. Why did the baby get the neutron and all that stuff? It is not from the egg." And I posted that too. I didn't go direct confrontation. I just put an article. No direct answer to that person. When you come to the deep thing of God, don't ever try to touch something that you do not understand. I never want to go into those things until the Lord tell me and show to me. Until I can see that it is there in the Bible. Do you understand what I'm talking about? So here, look at this. Now, those statements that I underline it because I want to give you an understanding of what those are. Tithing, I'm one of the ministers in our small, independent, and non-denomination church here in Makati, Philippines. We don't teach tithing. We don't have anyone to whom we give tithes or is being paid by tithes either. Wow. So, by emphasizing this person seems to be very, very sure. We don't teach tithing, we don't have anyone to whom we give tithes or being paid by tithes either. Look at the exclamation mark there. Very positive. Like that. One big exclamation. Let me ask you this. If you do not give tithes, now he is confused in what he wrote later on as he sees. We are talking about tithes. We are not talking about giving donation. Neither are we talking about paying tithes. If any of you ever pay tithes to the Lord, then you have no understanding who you are. Because we are not under the law. Right? Neither are we giving donation. Let me say this. If you know who you are, alright, then you give. But why do we give tithes? Was there a law in the Bible in the first place that tell us to give tithes? Of course no. There's no law for us. Then why do you give? Do you understand why you give? Because you need to understand why you give is because you relate to someone who started it all. And that someone is your father. Your spiritual father. He didn't pay tithes. He initiated. And God took it. And then when the children, his physical descendant came out, he put the law on them because God won a ministry. The Levitical priesthood. To minister before him and the people. Before him and the people. Before him and the people! That's the reason why God allows it. Someone initiated. Because God's plan is in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do you think the fall came? Because someone initiated, that's the devil. And Adam redeemed it. God allows it. From Adam, first Adam, the first man, the first Adam, that brought the fall. God allows it. What was God's purpose? To use the same pattern and reverse it to bring a second man. Huh? But the last enemy. You know, there are a lot of people who don't even understand the word Adam. What is the first man, first Adam? Second man, last Adam, not third Adam, not second Adam. But here we have foolish preacher. He said there are three Adams. Adam was the first man, first Adam. Jessica was the second man, second Adam. And somebody is the third Adam. Third man, third Adam. I don't know how to get it. They don't even be able to understand the scripture. And I have shown it to you what the word Adam itself means. By the way that God had put in the Bible. Through Paul's revelation. An apostle who saw the revelation. And he used the first man, first Adam. Second man, but the last Adam. And all Adams, in these two cases, they are creation. They are totally new creation. First man, first Adam, new creation. Was he not a new creation? Before Adam exists, was there a man? Or even to say, before there was an elephant, and the elephant came out, God created an elephant, was it not a new creation among all the elephants, among all the creatures? When God creates something new, it's new creation, new creation, new creation.
Jesus Christ came in the form of mankind. But he was the last Adam, because it was a new creation. It has nothing to do with the cell or the genetic of humankind. Huh? He was created in the likeness, of the Bible says, of sinful flesh. But he was not sinful flesh. Like something is different from it is. You understand what I'm talking? But people think that they know the scripture by writing something and they grab it. So these people, this one said, we don't believe it, we don't teach tithing. That's his business. But the problem when he doesn't teach tithing, he's robbing the people of God's blessing. Do you know that? And he doesn't teach the people to know who they are. I'm glad. I'm a child of God. I'm a glad. I'm the seed of Abraham. Remember that? What did Paul said about the seed of Abraham? It is not those who are physically circumcised. It's those who are spiritually circumcised. Okay. Everyone commits their time freely in service to the Lord. And we would rather see any money be donated to those believers or local churches who are in need. Anyway, you see, here he's talking about donation. You see, when you give tithe to the Lord, you're not donating to God. You think God needs your money. You think God needs your money. Someone in the past, many times, many of these people, Romy and Bergen, help us. You know, how can we do a ministry without money? That's the problem. Because you're thinking about you doing something for God. If God is not in it, what do you do? We'll be a failure. All will be vanity. All will come to naught. Right? And you think God needs money? When God sent the disciples out, what did he tell them? Get yourself a big haversack of money. Did he? Or he just said, go. Don't carry this with you. Why? Because God will feed them. It's not about money. They might ask me, then why do we tithe? The reason why we tithe is because God has set the example in Abraham for us, for the ministry between him and you people. Do you understand? You need to understand this, and if you call yourself a preacher, really a preacher, because you have a job. What a job, not pastoring, because you have a good job in your office. You earn a good sum of money to be comfortable. That's why you don't believe in tithing. If God strips you out of your job and you're a pastor, how are you going to feed yourself? You need to understand why God is doing what he called. God called the Levite. They were separated. They don't have an inheritance. They don't have land. They don't have sheep. They don't have cattle. God said, I am your inheritance. I will provide for you. How did God provide them? The whole tribe, all the tribes of Levi, give a tenth to them. Right? Wow, do you understand? See, donation and tithes are two different things. He's talking about donation. See the word donation? He wrote the word donate. One is a free will giving, which is donation. I mean, people ask you for donation, you give free will. It's all right. To help those in need. The other is about tithe. The other thing is that which belongs to God for his ministry. Has nothing to do with your donation. But we don't believe in tithing. Nobody asks you to believe. You don't want to believe. You don't have to believe in one God if you don't want to. You don't have to believe the baptism in Jesus' name is correct. You don't have to. You can believe whatever you want.
But a true child of God, believe what is trust, says the Lord. Believe what is truth. Not just something that's fancy. You know why I know this problem exists around the world about this tithing? It started in America, whereby because they are long, this super rich preachers. They say, oh, God want to bless you. God is multi-millionaire. You know all that prosperity thing? And they have a fast big bucket as big as a Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know what they call that bucket size? And they pass it around the congregation. And they buy mansion. They have Jack Plain. Yeah. So donation is different. Free will giving of donation is different from what is tithe. And nobody says, and those who say that you need to pay tithe, he is a fool. He doesn't know the scripture. Based now, look at it. Based on what I've read on the Bible, tithing is not commanded for a believer to do during this grace dispensation. Look at all the books of the New Testament, and you will not find being commanded to the church or those under the new covenant to do so. You see, it is always a very common. The emphasis is, it is not commanded in the grace dispensation. You see that? It is not commanded in the New Testament. In the New Testament, no apostle commanded it. And they keep on repeating this. Let me tell you something. Do you know that there is a lot of things in the Bible that are not commanded in the New Testament? Example, men wear trousers. What did the Bible say men can wear trousers? In the day of Jesus, do they wear trousers? So how come you wear trousers? Do the Bible say you can wear trousers? Shouldn't we wear what Jesus wear in those days? Garment wrapped around the lunde, the sarong type? What do you think? I can say, like a post question like that. What about beard? Like when New Zealand took guy came and said, here they have beard, we should put on beard. Jesus had beard, Peter had beard, Paul had beard. So, hey, Brother John is put on beard, right? Oh, Brother Gandhi, you should put on beard. And it's crazy. What about smoking? Now, years ago, when I was still in denomination, there's always a talk about, you know, how there's some Anglican priests that smoke pipes and smoke cigars. You know, huh? And then there was this discussion. They said that, why can't they smoke? If you can drink leaf, they said, drink the tea. Why can't I smoke my leaf? What's the difference between you drinking leaf and I smoke leaf? What's the difference? You got a good point, isn't it? And what about makeup? What did the Bible? The Bible doesn't say you cannot make, you cannot put on makeup. Find me a place in the Bible where he says you cannot put makeup. Show me one place. I mean, if you talk like this, then you certainly can find a lot of things with the Bible. That's why you can make the Bible. You want to, you can preach anything out of the Bible. Till one say what you can preach anything you want to. Right? You know this man called Benny Hinn? I think he made an apology sometime back that he asked me to forgive him for what he had been preaching all those times. Well, I think that was not true, of course. This, all these TV evangelists in America, it's not worth listening to. There's so many of them that talk all nothing but rubbish. God show me this, God show me that. And also the thing that was dramatized. Next, what you read, what, look what he said. Free will giving is the one being taught to the believer. Then he quote 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give.
not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loved a cheerful giver. Yes. Paul said that, that's free will offering. But it has nothing to do with tithe. What do you give? Why do you take this verse and apply it as if it is tithe? You understand what I'm saying? Tithe is tithe. Your free will offering is a free will offering. Do you understand, huh? And you take that, but we go on and see what Paul was talking about later on. Continue. Giving should come from a grateful heart in response to a need. Giving is not a law. When did anybody? I've never heard any preacher that said that giving is a law. We're going to collect an offering for some poor folks in Alaska. It is a law that you give $10. Let's pass this around. Really? You ever heard anybody say that giving is a law? Ever heard of it? I don't think anybody ever heard that statement. Even the government of any nation who ask you to pay tax, but he didn't ask you that. You must give. It's a law to give $10 every month. Or every year to the government. Is that such a thing? Giving? If you said to give, become a law, it's no longer giving. It is paying. You know, I don't know. I mean, he's supposed to be an educated person. Wonder if you know what he's talking about. Giving is not a law that should be imposed to the believers, which automatically make it under compulsion and therefore contrary to the commandment of 2 Corinthians 9:7. Hey, man. Whoever feels that it is under compulsion in giving a donation, something is very wrong. Now, very often, maybe a couple of months, once in a while, you get somebody knock my door. And I said, what is it? They carry some kind of a something that they sell, or some letters in the government or organization to approve. We are here to collect some donation. Right? You know? So, if you look at that, if you feel that this is an organization, association, or a charitable organization that is worth supporting, support. The person said, you can just give as much as you want. You can. So, if you feel compelled to give $10, give $10. Of course, you don't say, $10 is a lot of money. Then don't give. What you give and then after that regret giving. But there's no compulsion. Now, when he talks about this, I think he's saying that when you teach time, you're compelling people to give. Anybody here is being compelled and forced to give? Let me say this. You're here this morning for fellowship. Why are you here? What are you? Is it the Lord that you must come? Is it the Lord that you must come? The God said, thou shalt come every Sunday. Is that the Lord? Or are you compelled by God to come here to worship, to fellowship, to hear the word? I'm compelled by the love of God to give what I want to give. I'm compelled by the love of God for the ministry. For the word of the Lord to go out. For the word and the work of God. I'm compelled by the Spirit to give what belongs to God. You know, for those who feel under compulsion that you must give a tithe, I didn't say pay. A tithe to the Lord, and you feel that you are under the kind of compulsion that you must give, then I tell you one thing, you are not a believer. You're certainly not a believer because you are doing it reluctantly. You are just a big believer. What? I was taught that I must give. I also don't make heaven. I'm not a good Christian. That means if I'm not a good Christian, I cannot make the rapture. You know, this should go to your mind, right? Let me tell you something, Jesus. Do you think that you are here because you want to go and make the rapture so that by wanting to go on rapture, you feel that you have to be here for Sunday? Huh? Do you think that making the rapture requires you to pray every day, to read the Bible every day, to go to church every Sunday? Is it? Or is it because you're already predestinated? And if you're predestinated and elected and foreordained of God, then there is something in you to want to have a relationship with God. Right? A lot of people say, I believe this message. I got the token. I'm going to go into the rapture. Oh. Just by believing this message, you think you have the token, you're going to go to the rapture? Like what is being taught? Huh? Stay with the tape. Play the tape. Because that's the token. That's God's last voice to the world, to the bride. Get ready. Hear the tape. These are the people. They are making indoctrinated. So much so that they want and must listen to Brother Branham's teaching. I know a minister that came over to Singapore discussion with me. I said, okay, there are more than 1,000 Brother Branham's teaching. How long does it take for you to finish hearing me if you hear one tape a day? 3 years? Then what do you do with it? Recycle again? For another 3 years? Listen to it another 3 years? Listen to it by all means. But God has a living ministry. Do you understand my living ministry? The fivefold ministry is taking the word of God after the bride is called back to it. Then the fivefold ministry takes over and perfect the church. That means preaching the word of God, because God is still opening the revelation of His word. Huh? What Brother was given to give to the people, He has already given. But there are more to it, not just what's in the tape. To believe what is not only in the tape, something is very wrong. There was Peter. There was Paul. He got 14 books, including Hebrew, 14 books, epistles. But he didn't have what John had when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Huh? That's why I have some of those preachers argue with me. Brother Paul had everything. Brother preached everything that Apostle Paul taught. I said, really? Did Paul see what John saw in the eyes of Patmos? Think. God is always moving. God don't sit still. Because his body is a living body of believers. But denominations are dead because God has already left them. Remember? Come out of her, my people! God is no longer there. He's in His Word. So, for what He said about 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Let me say this again. If you are you're under compulsion because you are being taught to tithe, then I only say one thing. You're a make-believer because you do not know who Abraham was. Then the person has not the faith of Abraham. Have you ever wondered why Abraham did what he did? Huh? I mean, he went up there, fought these kings, had to serve his nephew, Lot, and he got all the loot and the spoil. And then he gave back to those who owned them, the original owner, and whatever level of the spoil that he got from those kings, they do not belong to those whom they stole. Wow. On his way back, as I said last week, he didn't go meet Melchizedek. Because there was no Melchizedek at that time. There was no high priest at that time to say. Because here was a strange thing that happened. Huh? On his way back, here came Melchizedek with wine and bread to meet him. And then he set in motion something very unusual. Let me ask him, when you were born into this world and you found yourself a sinner, you do whatever you do every day, your work, and you didn't think about going to meet God or anything, right? But on your way, as you are doing whatever you are doing, God meets you. At some point in time, right? To communicate with you, to me to understand that you are a sinner, he is a sinner. So think, if you have the faith of Abraham, you will just do what Abraham your father did. Okay, look, let's continue. The word necessity, he said, in that verse, is from the Greek word, anon, which means impose or duty. Therefore, Paul is telling us that giving comes from a desire in one's heart according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is not a duty. Of course it's not a duty. God does not force anything on anyone. Let me ask, does God force you to love Him? Does God force you to love Him? Or do you love Him because He first loved you?
Amen.
That's always the case. He loves me, that's why I love Him. I mean, after all, we are sinful creatures, we are corrupt. And yet He's a holy God that wants to embrace you. Think about it. Does God force you to pray? Does God force you to study the Bible? Does God force you to come to church? God don't do that. He doesn't force. He comes and speaks to you. Make you to understand who you are. That He is the Father and He loves you. Of course, you give me a donation, free will offering. Okay, let us read and see what He said. The fact is, there is not one commandment in the Bible that a believer should tithe under the New Testament. We are no longer under the dispensation of the law. Again, you see that? The emphasis? We are no longer under the law. We are no longer under the law. We are under grace. We are under grace. There is no one commandment to say that you need to tithe. Just to give with a joyful heart. And when you give a joyful heart, you are not duty bound. It's not a duty for you to give. Blah, 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 blah. How did you take some scripture like that and teach it to a people? You know, I feel so sad for these people. These are preachers that put it out all this false doctrine, not understanding what tithe is all about. We are not told to pay tithes. Neither are God forcing you to give your tithes. But why do you give? You need to understand this revelation. Now, I have never seen anyone who ever give to the Lord what belongs to God and ever beg for food. On the contrary, I am very much blessed because I give more than 10%. In the family, when I'm the only one that works, and we never at any time when we have any problem. Yeah, there are times there is a shortage of money for certain food. We just don't have to worry too much about it. God's promise is always so real. You give, He'll give it back to you more than you give Him. Not necessarily materially, but in other things, spiritual health, mental health, well-being, whatever. I don't bother God, why are you sick? Oh. So to say that Christians never are sick, it's a very question they always hear when we have people arguing back. Huh? There's some believer here in this fellowship too. Why is the church not blessed? Why is death that takes away last few years? Brother Joseph died? Brother Sharon died? Huh? And then Sister Lucy got this stroke. Wow. Next thing I find very amazing that a person can talk like this, not silly question. I hope this person can live to he or she until 120 years old without any sickness. But the Bible tells us whether it is the rainfall upon the just and the unjust. If the just don't get sick, if you don't get sick, then you won't die. When people die of age, what if they are die of age? Because the body is sick. Isn't it? And if all Christians are healthy, then the whole world of people want to be Christian. Because that's benefit. Just to be Christian, you live for 120 years, and then you sick, boom, you die. No sickness. Oh. And what foolish people are. Said, isn't it? Anyone who imposes the things of the law to the believer and not the whole law are actually under the curse according to the Apostle Paul. Look at it. See what he's trying to say? Anyone who imposes the things of the law to the believers. Anyone of you here have imposed any law by me from this pulpit? Was there in the Bible that God imposed on you law? Huh? There's no imposed. God did not impose on anyone. And He called Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 10, what He wrote here. I mean, what He called. For all who are of works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to do them. Well, you take this verse out of context, and you can't consider a teacher and a pastor. What was Paul talking about here? What was Paul talking about here? So now, first of all, he says, anyone who imposes the things of the law. What things of the law is this pastor referring to? The giving of tithes? Is it what he's trying to say? When a pastor teaches a congregation, a church,
that we should give tithes doesn't mean that he is imposing the things of the law. Is this the thing? Is tithing a thing of the law? You know, this person doesn't know what he's talking about. You take a bus and you give. What kind of interpretation is that? Huh? And you take the Bible and say, oh, Jesus was born of the egg of Mary. Where did it come from? The Bible, in the book of Genesis, what does it say in John? Genesis 3, 16 or 15, I believe. You think I'll put the enmity between the serpent he spoke, between thy seed and her seed. What is this seed of the woman? He told me about the seed of the woman. He didn't say that to the serpent I put between your seed and Adam's seed. Why is he not talking about that? Did not the seed come from the man? But what he said, between your seed and her seed. Pointing to Eve, the woman, before Eve was called Eve, right? What is it? Woman don't have a seed. So where did the seed come from? Think! Things like that are hidden mysteries. And people think they don't know what they don't know. And they teach those things. How can they ever grow in grace? How can there be unity of the faith? As our brother Branham said, you know, I'm sending with this message to unite the brethren together in the unity of the faith. But how can there be unity of the faith when we have ministers who are not called to minister? Or whose ministers who are called to be a pastor, but he put his feet. Well, I guess the feet gets too big now. I need a bigger shoe. To step in to be an apostle or a prophet or something else. And what law in Galatians 3:10 here? What law was Paul talking about in this Galatian in the book? How is giving a tithe to the law a law? How is giving become a law? You see, he's talking very garbage. I don't understand. I know this pastor. If you ever want to learn, I don't think you will ever learn. Because when you get yourself too high, just I know some minister, when they stop preaching error, and don't want to admit it, you'll continue holding on to it and justify that he's right. And you will continue to justify that Jesus came from the egg of Mary. He's not the only one. There are others who believe that. And the others respond and say, amen, yeah, we don't have to give tithes. There's no teaching about tithes. Well, for a believer who's not a preacher, they're sorry to say, I'm so happy, you know, I don't have to give tithes. But for the preacher to preach and not preaching tithes, he's robbing the blessing of God from the people. Huh? The way what God wants to bless the people is taken from them. So what is this law then? What was Paul talking about? Yes, I'm talking to you. Let's read it properly, okay? Let's read it properly. For all who are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, curse is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law. We're talking about the Old Testament. Those book of the law in the Old Testament. The Pentateuch. Those law. Remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? If you broke one, say you keep one law, but you broke one law, you broke all the law. You keep all the laws, yeah, but you just break one, you break all. And his daughter Florence says, the thing that you should do, the weather matter you should do, but no, you, all this little thing, you make a big issue out of it. Yes. And I don't understand how is the giving of a tithe to the Lord is a law. No, it's not law. It's love. Because God said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse. The word of God. God dwelt in his own word. That's where the house is. Bring in. So that the word will go out. With this, he said, well, let's read it. With this, giving per se is still highly encouraged by the apostle to the believers. Acts 20:35. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Gives plenty of instruction on how believers should give during this grace dispensation. All of these giving should be according to the purpose of the heart, based on the leading of the Spirit. Correct. But what are these two chapters in Corinthians talks about? Whenever you read the Bible, have a background to why the letter was written. Don't just grab it and just put it somewhere else. When Paul wrote this book to the Corinthians, what was the situation of Corinthians? And here he was recommending that of what? Huh? I told you last week, Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. But he still related himself to the Jews. And in Jerusalem there were problems. People, the Jews were persecuted. And they need some kind of collection to help them. So what's Paul here talking about? Tithes. Just talking about collecting some money, some sort of help to help those who are in need. So what is he taking this? He himself mentioned it was a donation in the early part, right? Remember? Correct. Now here for example, today, let's say this. Okay, let us, after the service is over, let us collect an offering. Give. How much you want to give? $1, $10, $20. Give as you would. Want to collect this money to help some believer in certain country who are faced with a big storm that wipe up their crops and destroy their house. Correct? And they have nothing to do with tithes. When he's called this Galatian, and he said, then he said this, that what Paul said, curse is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now he just quote this, that's about the law. It has nothing to do with the giving. He just take this out of context to talk about those who do not keep the law, as to those who want to keep the law, they are law keepers. But let's say this. The most important thing is that the Bible itself said to the book of Malachi. Let's go to Malachi here. And I know that there are people say, oh, there's the Old Testament, they're still under the law. Nevertheless, whether it's under the Old Testament, under the law or not under the law, but just look at what Malachi said in chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you son of Jacob are not consumed. Why are they not consumed? Because God keeps his promise. Even though they misbehave, they sin, God still keeps his promise. Even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Oh my. You see, this is chosen people. They have certain ordinances. We have our ordinances that God gives us, is it not? water baptism in Jesus' name. Feet washing is an ordinance. Communion is an ordinance. Correct? Giving our tithes is not an ordinance. Because the only three that we do. You understand? The giving of tithes is we go back to Abraham. Abraham had no ordinance to keep. He was the one who initiated. But you got, if there was no giving of tithes by Abraham, I tell you, today there will be no tithes given. For sure, isn't it? But why did the giving become a law imposed upon the people? Because the labor is taken out without inheritance upon the earth. So God told the people, the other tribes, they need to give the tithes for them. Because they are ministering to me and to you. So God have that plan, have that purpose, have that design. Then, well, the Lord Jesus came. He took the law. And he went to the cross and he nailed it to the cross. Right? But was all the law and all the ordinances all nailed to the cross? Everything changed? No. There are certain things that don't change. It's how you behave, how you dress, how you conduct yourself as a believer. Those things don't change. And if we are children of Abraham, his faith does not change. Do you see? What is a friend? Well, we'll answer that question a little later. So let's just say here what Malachi said now. Now let's go on. Verse 7. Even from the days of your father you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. For you said, wherein shall we return? Would a man rob God? You have robbed me. But you said, why have we robbed you? In tithes and offering. And you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, if the law in the Old Testament is so strict, the people must pay. Think about it, huh? The people must pay. And if you don't pay, you want to redeem that tithe for a certain period, then the law says you have to add 20% of it. 1/5 upon it. Wow, that is kind of a lot, huh? People start redeeming the tithes in the Old Testament. God had to charge them 20% because people have no faith. And I believe some brothers and sisters here in our fellowship in the past have the same experience. You find yourself in debt just because you don't find, because you're not being faithful to give it. Right? I did when I was in denomination. At one time, I was so tied up. I didn't give my tithe. And when I stopped giving my tithe for a few months, it grew from bad to worse. I was in very big trouble. That's true, because God is teaching. And the Bible says, you have robbed me. Under the law, the people have robbed God because they didn't pay. Under grace, people have robbed God even for what their forefather Abraham has initiated. Because of the relationship. Why was Abraham called a friend of God? Well, let's continue this memory and say. Now, having said this, if a believer knows these things and feels that they want to give a tenth of the money, it is actually fine. That is between them and God.
As long as it is the leading of God in them. If He leads you to give 50%, then give 50%. If He leads you to give only 1%, then give only 1%. That's grace. The point is, do not make giving a duty or a law. You know, I don't even know what he's talking about. Do you see that? If he leads you to give only 1%, then give 1%. It's grace. The point is, do not make giving a duty or the law. Saint Anselm, men can always justify their belief and their action by saying, that's grace, even if you give nothing. Never give anything at all. It's grace. If only they know they need God's grace. A disgrace. I cannot understand this. Look at the amount of grace that God gives to Abraham. Huh? And the more that God gives the grace to Abraham, the more that Abraham gives back to God. And God bless him more. Look at Job. He was living in the day where there was no law. People think the book of Job was somewhere in the middle of the Bible. They think that Job was living after the law. Only the law was already there. No, he was living in the days of Abraham before there was any law. The Bible says Job was a man who eschewed evil. Right? I mean, who love God, right? Then the devil came along, oh, you know, God, because you blasted, that's why he loves you. Take away all those blessings, see what happened. Job's love for God stand, even though when he was stripped of all his belongings, even of his health, even when the wife was so stressed out, wanted to cut when he died. What did Job say? When I die, my body is given to the skin worm, I shall rise again and behold my Creator. What was his relationship with God? The reality. It's a reality that Abraham had with God. That's why it's called friend of God. I don't know how many friends of God have. Back in those days, Job, Abraham, I know who else. And I pray that every one of us be friends of God. So what he is trying to say, that's grace. Use that to justify that if he leads you to give 1%. Or if he leads you to give 1% of giving a donation, it's one thing. When you come to tithing, it's a different thing. It's not a donation. Brother, do you understand? A tithe is not a donation to God. You understand? A tithe is not just a simple free will offering. It was initiated by Abraham. And God used that in his plan and the purpose for the storehouse, the word of God to go out by the works of the ministry. You don't talk about giving donation as if it is tithing. Of course, nobody pays tithes. And you'll be hearing all those things and you're so confused. Many people are so confused. Tithes, tithes, tithes. Must pay. You know, I think that's true for those who family members are not believers. Huh? They will say to you, hey, you are a Christian, you give 10% to the church of what you earn. Well, what kind of law you have to pay? You know, Yahweh, he didn't talk like that. Yes. And then you hear about this word called charity begins at home. Is it charity begins at home? the phrase. Huh? Is it true or false? Charity begins at home.
The answer is, it is true. Your answer, it is also false.
Why? Take for example, you have a family of children that have grown up. A father is doing well. And all the children are working, except one rascal, the black sheep. If you don't go to work, he works. If you don't go to work, he doesn't work. Why? Because father provides. He can use his father's car, maybe. Huh? And when you see one of the brother or sister going to church, giving tithes, hey, do you know the charity begins at home? I need some money, you don't help me. If I'm the person whom he's talking to, I'll tell him, you are just a slow. You are so lazy. Huh? All you do, you sit your bum on the sofa every day, getting money from daddy, and you want to get money from me. My Bible says, in no work, no eat. Charity begins at home. Big deal, huh? Take the nice phrase. Yes. Charity begins at home. It's also true. If you know how to apply it. Huh? Not just the home of your own home. But also for the church. Or even for your neighbor. Because you have said, who is your neighbor? Who's your enemy? So, all these words of nice saying, then use it up. Alright, so if he leads you to give 1%, then give 1%. You know, I can also say this. I know it's God's grace that I'm a Christian. Even though I keep drinking and smoking. Can I say that? Can I not say that? Yeah. It's God's grace that saved me. Because I know the Bible said this. I was taught by the pastor that God forgive my sin. He take care of the past sin, the present sin, and the future sin. So, you know, I just love drinking. And I love smoking. It's God's grace. They're not a Christian. Really? Have you heard about talk like that? You may not. But I know there are Christians who drink and get drunk. Yes? If you're doing that, it's a disgrace. Isn't it so? Are you not for you to go to buy a lottery ticket to the total? I mean, have you done that? You are tempted, right? Pass by the total, well, $6 million. That's me. Okay, nobody's around. I know how. Sneaking quickly. Buy a few tickets. Yeah. Come on. Our life is the grace of God. Let us live that life of grace. Not make it a disgrace. That's for sure. So, could this pastor is probably talking about donation, not tithes, because he doesn't believe in it, right? Let's finish it off. A full study of tithing is quite interesting, especially how they tithe in the Old Testament, which is not monetary. How is he so sure? How is he so sure? And what Peter is he talking about? In the Old Testament, are people using money or they use barter trade? Correct. And when they are harvesting the field, so many bushels of wheat, bushels of barley, so many sheep, 1/10 goes to the leader, of course. There's no money.
But as time goes on, when civilization gets more, and the children of Israel have war with the Persians, with the Romans, and all that, by the time of Jesus Christ, they did not use coin.
They did not use coin!
No money. So he's trying to say this, that they don't use money. So what they want us to give one. Every one of us, practically here, not having a farm or a fisherman, right? If I'm living in a province, and I'm a pastor, the people, they are farmers, and the people, they are fishermen. Sure, if they catch 10 fish, they give me one. They got 10 bushels of wheat, they give me one. I'm fine with it. So I can fed, so my family is fed, so we have the strength to go out witnessing. What extra bushel of wheat, barley or fishes, we can sell. Right? And use the money to pay for transport. So they can go minister the gospel. I don't know, this person is locked into a field trap of, wow. In closing, he said, there is no law for the Christian to tell. Again, the emphasis. There's no law. Repeat it often, the statement, the phrase, repeat it often, it becomes a fact to the hearer. That's why the charismatic and the Pentecostal, they preach prosperity gospel, right? They preach it so often, they tell it so often, that the people in the congregation believe. And the pastor says, now the preacher says, come on, we've got to collect the money for the Lord's ministry. Remember what I preach? Give, and he shall be given unto you more and more. Give. So there is this poor guy, they had hardly any money. And he took all and just put in there. And he believed that God was going to bless him tomorrow. Or next year, or next month, next year. He never come. Because why? That is not faith. That is blindly trusting a preacher who entices you, seduces you. And you preacher who don't preach tithing are robbing God's people. But as a Christian, we need to return to the good, free will, gracious givers. A lot of us have been given a lot. There are a lot of valid needs, so we should be asking God what we can do with the resources He has given us, be it time, money, talent, deed, etc. Of course. But that's talking about giving. We're not talking about giving. We're talking about tithing. And when we talk about tithing, we're not talking about paying. We are talking about give what belongs to God. Are you all understanding this? I wrote this recently to a brother. I said, a preacher who do not know Abraham for who he was do not really know anything about being a friend of God. Father Abraham has set an example for us to follow. Abraham had the revelation of who he was and who God was. It's not just a natural physical relationship, it's spiritual. If Bible believers be Abraham's children, why are these preachers so foolish and blind? Religious cinemas have eaten them like a moth on corrupt garments. Are we our friends of Abraham? Should we do? And if we are friends of Abraham, then let us be free as Abraham. Abraham just gave a tenth. And that is how the father will set an example. Like in the home, father teaches the children. Right? Setting the example. So the children follow. So Abraham taught us. Literally, he taught us. You know. But the children of Israel, God has to impose them a law that has to support the Levite for what he wanted them to do in administration of the whole of the nation of Israel. Do you understand? And as Bible, as Paul said last week, I read, he said the Levite, they pay tithes also in who? In Abraham. And he gave tithes to Melchizedek, right? That's right. Think about it. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. Paul said the Levite pay tithes when they were in the loins of Abraham, because they were under the law then. Do you see? Now, I'm a Levite. I'm a priest, so to speak, spiritually. The tithes that I collect, I too pay to my Lord. Because this is what comes from you. I give. I give. So I would say give. In a sense, pay, because I'm a Levite. Do you see that? So let us enjoy the very benefit of what God has done for us. And I pray that every one of you, compelled by the Spirit, to give what, first of all, belongs to God. Like I said this in one of my little articles, and I posted it on Facebook. People said, I give a lot of things to God. I give them to these needs and that needs. But I said this to them. You have not begun true giving until you first give the tenth that belongs to the Lord. Then your giving is true giving. If you give 5% to the Lord and then you brag about you give 10% to this and that, that's not a thing. What belongs to God, belongs to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. We give to God. Is that the truth? Because you see one thing. Why was this message given to us? I mean, this entire message to call us. Because God is separating. He's collecting the tenth. Maybe 10%. Robert Graham said what? 1%, 1%, huh? Interruption. What happened if you will take the tenth of all those who confess that they are Christian? May the Lord bless every one of you. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for that word of truth, Lord. I'm asking the Lord, you take what has been taught. Surely, Father, there's so much confusion, and I know, Father, and you know too, Lord, that there are many preachers just like Philippus and Hymenaeus in the days of Paul, who taught doctrines contrary to the word and said the resurrection is past and caused many to fall. And today we have preachers too, Lord. They have opinions. They think they know what they do not know. And it took away the blessing from your children. The blessing that that should be theirs to claim. Now pray, Father, that you bless them. Nevertheless, O Lord, give grace and mercy. And may there be a willing heart to learn, Father. I ask that you bless the word and break it down further. Teach us all things then, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.